The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Check out Virtue, our website for Christian women. Go to harvest.org/virtue.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Pastor Greg Laurie comments today on the Lord's Prayer.
Now, if we wrote the Lord's Prayer, it would probably sound like this. Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. But as I think about the awesomeness of God, it will cause me to see my problem, challenge, need in a different light. It won't change it necessarily, but it will change my perspective. Because listen to this, God is bigger than your problem.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Facing a challenge right now, a trial, a tragedy, a crisis, a loss. God knows what you're going through. He's concerned about what you're going through, and He has the power to get you through. But today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out he wants us to come to Him and ask for His help. Prayer is a vital part of surviving the toughest of challenges life throws our way. And today, Pastor Greg helps us pray effectively using the Lord's model for effective prayer.
Have you ever been in what appeared to be an impossible situation with no way out? Let me restate that question. Are you in, right now, an impossible situation with no way out? Or have you ever desperately needed or even wanted something, but it seemed there was no way you would ever have it? Have you ever thought there was no future for you, and for you it was just too late? If so, you need to know more about the power of God and what can take place through prayer. For one thing, certainly stands out in the pages of Scripture is that prayer can dramatically change situations, people, and on occasion, even the course of nature itself. But the thing that prayer changes the most is us. And who knows more about prayer than Jesus? And so that's what we're going to look at here in just a moment. The disciples came to Him. They said, Lord, we have a question. Would you teach us how to pray? Jesus gave them this prayer, which shows prayer is something that can be taught. You need to be taught how to pray. And sometimes you are taught by watching others do it. And you're taught, of course, by reading Scripture. And there are certain principles that you can engage when you pray. Now, we call this the Lord's Prayer, and there's nothing wrong with calling it that. The Bible never addresses it as such. I don't think it really was a prayer Jesus Himself prayed. You say, well, of course He did. No, actually, He didn't. Because Jesus would never need to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us, because Jesus never sinned. If you want to read the real Lord's Prayer, the prayer that only Christ could pray, John 17, that is the Lord's Prayer. It's rather long. It's a prayer only Christ could pray. This could better be described as the disciples' prayer, or maybe the template for prayer, but call it what you like. We think of it as the Lord's Prayer. It's a model for all prayer. I'm going to be reading from Matthew 6, verses 9 to 14. And I'll tell you what, I want us all to do this out loud together. This is the New King James Version. Let's read it together. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? I love that. The Lord's Prayer. Now we think of this maybe as the big gun. In case of emergency, break glass and pray this prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're in a moment of crisis and you just say, Our Father who art in heaven, that's okay. You pray that prayer. You're having a hard time getting to sleep at night. Just go through that prayer. Think about that prayer. Ponder that prayer. That's all good. But it's not just the big gun, so to speak. It's not just the in case of emergency prayer. As I said, it's a model for prayer. So here's point number one, if you're taking notes. You have complete access to the creator of the universe through prayer. You have complete and total access, an all stage pass, if you will, to the creator of the universe through prayer. Let's start at the beginning. Our Father who art in heaven. So you just call him and you say, Dad, I need to ask you a question. That's called access. That's a relationship we're talking about here. This is God Almighty, but I have him on speed dial. I have his private number. I can access him anytime I want. That's relationship. Okay, you have relationship with God. You're his daughter. You're his son. He loves you. He lights up when you walk into the room. He wants to hear from you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to spend time with you. It's never a drudgery. It's always a delight, and the same should be true for us. This is your Father in heaven, a Father who will always be there, a Father who listens, a Father who loves us, your Father in heaven. You say, but that's a problem. In heaven. Heaven is so far away. I need someone here on earth. Well, for starters, God is omnipresent, which means present everywhere, so he isn't heaven in here. But is heaven really that far away? I think we think, you know, here's the sky, and now here's the solar system, and now here's the third heaven, and it's just so, so far. And maybe in a sense that's true, but in another sense, heaven is closer than you realize. Heaven is another dimension. It's a supernatural realm. So for the Father in heaven to step into your world is nothing to him. He's here. My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God is deeply involved and deeply concerned about what you're facing right now. If it concerns you, it concerns him. Our Father who art in heaven. Notice it's our Father in heaven, not my Father in heaven. We're being taught by Jesus to pray with other believers. He doesn't teach us to pray, give me this day my daily bread. And nor does he teach me to pray, forgive me my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. He teaches me to pray, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. There's nothing wrong with asking God to forgive you of your sin and provide your daily bread. But the emphasis here is, this is something we should do together. Christians need to pray with Christians. It helps, doesn't it? You ever had a burden? You're overwhelmed with something? You see a Christian friend, you say, can we pray? Yes. And after you pray, it feels so much better. That's because there's power in unified prayer. That's why Jesus said, if any two of you will agree on anything, it will be done of your Father in heaven. Now, of course, we need to be aligned with the will of God. But the point is, praying together makes all the difference in the world. The Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens. Don't do it alone. Don't do life alone. Don't try to be a solo Christian. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we do this together. And then, of course, we give him honor in glory. But what does Jesus teach us in this template for prayer? When you pray, you say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if we wrote the Lord's Prayer, it would probably sound like this. Our Father who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Let's just get down to business. Here's my list. Now, there's a place for petition. Nothing wrong with asking the Father in heaven for what you need. But notice that Jesus says, first, take time, effectively, to contemplate the greatness of God. Now, there are exceptions. If you fell off a ladder and you're on your way down, help will do, okay? You can't even finish the Lord's Prayer. God help. Or maybe you're out surfing and a great white shark is approaching you, and you know because you hear the music, dun, 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 dun. because John Williams is over there directing this orchestra, and you don't know why they're even on the beach. Dun, 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 dun. Whoa, he's getting closer. God help me. God deliver me. God save me. The shark's getting closer. And then you say, God, I just pray he's a Christian shark. Meanwhile, the shark is saying, for this meal that I'm about to receive, I give thanks. These are the jokes, people. I don't know what to say. But as I think about the awesomeness of God, as I contemplate the greatness and bigness of God, it will cause me to see my problem, challenge, need in a different light. It won't change it necessarily, but it will change my perspective. I'll see it differently because, listen to this, God is bigger than your problem. Whatever it is, God is bigger. And so my Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Set apart be your name. Honored and glorified be your name.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
It's a privilege to bring these studies from Pastor Greg your way. And we're encouraged to hear when they've helped people.
Dear Greg, thank you for your daily devotions in my email. They've helped me as I deal with chronic pain every day. I have also shared them with several people close to me who are going through cancer. It helps them too. I open your email every morning, first thing, and it encourages me to get through the day. It's like opening a present. I hope you receive many letters that thank you for your anointed words. Keep the faith.
We will keep the faith and continue to bring you these daily studies from Pastor Greg. Has Pastor Greg heard from you? Why not let him know how this ministry has impacted your life? You can email Pastor Greg at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org.
Well, we're giving careful consideration to the Lord's Prayer today as Pastor Greg presents his message called In Case of Emergency. And thanks to our Harvest partners and others who support this outreach for their help in making today's teaching possible.
Point number four now. Prayer is getting God's will on earth, not my will in heaven. Prayer is getting God's will on earth, not my will in heaven. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've heard people say, I've been wrestling with God a lot in prayer. Really? I hope you're losing. You don't want to talk God into something that is not his will, not that you could, but why even try? You see, prayer is not about changing God's mind. It's many cases about changing my mind. Prayer is not pulling God my way. It's pulling me his way. So I'm saying, Lord, I want your kingdom to come and I want your will to be done. Now, when I talk about the kingdom, I'm really just saying, Lord, I long for heaven. Every Christian has been pre-wired to know God, and they've been pre-wired to long for a place they've never been to before. Sort of a homing instinct. We see it in the animal kingdom. God has put it in humanity as well. We long for heaven. We're homesick for heaven. So when I'm praying, your kingdom come, your will be done, I'm just saying, I long for the day when I'll be in heaven in the presence of the Lord. But I'm also saying, I long for the day when Jesus will come back to this earth again. Because the word that is used here, by Christ, come, is a word that means something that's sudden and instantaneous. So effectively, when I say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I'm saying, Lord, please come back and do it soon. And it's also a personal request. I'm saying, Lord, I want your kingdom in my life. I want your rule in my life. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And by that, he meant when he was with a group of people, I'm here. Wherever I am, that's where the kingdom of God is. So when I say, your kingdom come, your will be done, I'm saying, Lord, I want your rule in my life. I want you to be in charge of my life. I want to give you the master key of every door in my little house. I want to give you all my passwords. You can access all my social media accounts. You can access anything I look at. Here it is, Lord. My wife has all my passwords. And I hope yours does too, or your husband. But no secrets, Lord. I want you to have access. You say what you want to say. You do what you want to do. This is what Jesus meant when he said, seek first the kingdom of God. Also, when I pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I'm praying for the salvation of those that don't know the Lord. And we can play a part in bringing that kingdom to others, can't we? God's kingdom is brought to this earth every time a new soul is brought to Jesus. Point number 5, God wants us to bring our needs before him each and every day. God wants us to bring our needs before him each and every day. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Now, if you're on the keto diet, you'll have to change that, I suppose. Give me this day my daily meat and cheese, I suppose. Give me this day my daily bread. Now, what does this mean? Well, it's obvious. Bread was a staple of the first century diet. So it includes that, but bread speaks of everything. It speaks of your finances. It speaks of a roof over your head. It speaks of your health. Just everything you need in life, my daily bread. It's a funny thing, back in the 60s, it was an expression for money. Someone might come up to you and say, hey man, do you have any bread? By the way, that's my default 60s way of speaking. I think everybody in the 60s, hey man, do you have any bread? Yeah. Too many drugs. But God wants to provide everything you need in life. And it's a reminder that everything I have in life is provided for me by God. Notice it says, give me this day my daily bread. It doesn't say, give me this month my monthly bread, or this year my yearly bread. The Lord will sometimes allow things to happen in our lives that will remind us we need him every day. Maybe you're going through something like that right now. All of a sudden, oh wow, you have this financial crisis. All of a sudden, you have this health scare. All of a sudden, you have this problem in your marriage, or you have this problem with your kids, or you have this other problem. And it's like, God, help. That's okay. Sometimes he'll allow these things to remind us that he's the provider, and we need to come to him each and every day, not just asking for stuff, but giving him glory for the stuff he's already given. When's the last time you just prayed a prayer of thanks? Oh, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for providing for this. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. Giving him thanks. Point number 6. God wants us to ask for and extend forgiveness to others. Now, some people don't think they need forgiveness. Oh, I don't know that I really sinned today. Seriously? No, I can't think of a single impure thought I had. I didn't lose my temper once. I don't think I've sinned at all. Well, you're sinning right now with pride, by the way, but whatever. No, we sin every day. We really do. And the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But then it also goes on to say in 1 John 1:9, if we will confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I need to ask God constantly for forgiveness. I think most of us get that. I think most of us want that. But here's where it gets tricky. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Wait, what? Yeah, forgive people. But Greg, this person, they hurt me. This person bullied me on social media. This person insulted me. This person did something that's so horrible, I can't forgive them ever. Really? Jesus said, you better be praying not only for your daily bread, but you better be praying and extending forgiveness every single day. I like what C.S. Lewis said about this, and I quote, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive, end quote. It's a great concept, forgiveness. I love forgiveness until it's time for me to forgive someone that doesn't deserve it. Now, let's just concede the point. They don't deserve it. Therefore, I will not forgive them. Okay, hold on now. Do you deserve forgiveness? Well, no. Okay. You don't deserve forgiveness, yet God gave it to you. Why would you not extend it to another person as well? The Bible says, you've been forgiven, therefore be tender-hearted, forgiving others. But listen to this. One person put it this way, forgiveness is not about absolving the perpetrator, it's about healing the victim. Here's another statement I like. Forgiveness isn't giving in to another person, it's getting free of that person. Get it? See, in a way, it's even not about that person. Let's just say, here's this person. He did this thing to me. I choose to forgive him. Doesn't deserve it, did it anyway. Who's getting free now? Him? Not really, but I am. Because that's not driving me crazy. So when he walks in a room, I'm not seething over in the side. Because I've let it go. Let it go. And forgive as you've been forgiven. God wants us to ask for and extend forgiveness to others.
Pastor Greg Laurie, with insight on the importance of forgiveness and following the Lord's model for prayer, laid out in what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. And Pastor Greg has more to come in this message called In Case of Emergency. Now, did you hear all of today's study here on A New Beginning? If not, you can catch up by going online to harvest.org. Oftentimes, the online version contains several more minutes of insight from Pastor Greg. So check it out at harvest.org. Or to get a permanent copy sent right to your home on CD, call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Well, Pastor Greg, we're making available the book called I Still Believe by Jeremy Camp.
Yeah.
It recounts his life and the many struggles he went through, and of course his marriage to a young lady named Melissa, who succumbed to a terminal illness just months after they became husband and wife.
Yes.
I don't mean to make this sound fatalistic, but we all come to the end of this life. You know, if God provides us supernatural healing from illness today, we'll still face the end of this life at some point.
Yeah.
You know, tomorrow, next month, next year, decades from now.
Mm-hmm.
Do we focus too much on prolonging this life and think too little of the fact that, earthly healing or not, all believers will enjoy life everlasting in the presence of the Lord?
You know, it's interesting. Years ago, people used to write a phrase over their accounting books, over their bank balance. And the phrase was memento mori, and it means think of death, not in a morbid way, but in a realistic way. The idea being, hey, look at how much money I have in my bank account. Yeah, awesome. Check it out. Memento mori. Think of death. In other words, you'll leave this behind. And so it's just a good reminder to always be ready for the afterlife. You know, only those who are prepared to die are really ready to live. And that means that we know that life is a gift from God. Every beat of our heart is also a gift from God. Every breath that we draw, that's from the Lord. So as the Bible says, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. So it's actually not a bad thing to always be aware that one day could be your last day, because one day it will be your last day. It's today, tomorrow, 1,000 days from now, only God knows. So don't worry about it. You know, the Bible doesn't say don't think about it. It says don't worry about it. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. That's what the non-believers are always worried about. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Jesus did not say don't think about these things. We do have to think about what we're going to wear, where we're going to live, where we're going to work, etc. But don't let it consume you. And I would say the same of life in general. It's like, be aware of the afterlife. As the Bible says, set your minds on things above. Or as one translation puts it, think heavenly thoughts. Or even another translation simply sums it up by saying, think heaven. And I think it's a good thing to get up in the morning and just think heaven. And that's exactly what we see in the powerful story of Jeremy and Melissa Camp in the book called I Still Believe. They were young people just starting out in life. And they had to think heaven. They had to think of eternal things because Melissa had cancer. And it appeared that she was healed. In fact, she was. She was in remission, but it did return. And they had to grapple with it. But Jeremy has written down many of the things he learned through this very difficult experience in a book that we're offering to our listeners this month for their gift of any size. And the title of the book is, I Still Believe. And the reason we offer resources like this is because we want to encourage you. And I know this will be an encouraging book for you to read, and it might be a really good book to hand on to a loved one that's dealing with some kind of hardship in life. But it also will get you ready for a powerful film that's going to be released nationwide, directed by the Irwin brothers. And the title of the film is the same title of the book. It's I Still Believe. And you'll see a lot of things in the film that are fantastic, but there's things in the book that are not in the film. That's why you want to get the book first and read it, and then go to the theater and hopefully take someone with you that's not a Christian yet and see for yourself what I think is the best film these guys have brought out yet. And they've brought some great ones out. I Still Believe. So again, for your gift of any size, we'll send you this book. Now, some can give a little more, some can't give as much, but everyone can give something. And whatever you give, we'll rush you your copy, and you can read a very inspiring story about how a young man had his faith put to the test, but saw God come through for him.
Yeah, that's right. And once again, it's Jeremy Camp's book called I Still Believe. And we'll send it to thank you for partnering with us. We'd invite you to become what we call a harvest partner. These are the close friends of the ministry who appreciate and support the work we're doing, not only here on A New Beginning, but also through Pastor Greg's Harvest Crusades. And they send a gift each month in support. The amount is up to them. Why not get the details by calling 1-800-821-3300? That's 1-800-821-3300. Or send your first gift as a harvest partner to A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or just go online to harvest.org. And again, we'll thank you with Jeremy Camp's book, I Still Believe. Well, next time, more insights on how to enjoy an effective, rewarding prayer life as Pastor Greg continues our study of the Lord's Prayer. Join us here on A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.